But if you can't look in the mirror and own up to being the villain of your own story, then you cannot be the hero of your own story.
Welcome to Made Us. I am your host, Zach Weaver. Today is a special one for me. And what do I mean by that? Today's episode marks 1 year that I've been podcasting. The release date of this is August 22nd, 2019. And I launched Made Us on August 23rd of 2018. It's been a really fun year with a lot of ups and downs, a lot of fun conversations, and more than I could have ever expected. And I honestly can't thank all of you listeners enough for being part of this and helping me grow this show. So today's episode, I asked a dear friend of mine, Mr. Adam Wilcox, to join me. Adam was literally there from the beginning, as you'll hear in this story, of him actually watching me edit the very first episodes and hearing the trailer before anybody else did. Adam is an amazingly unique individual with amazingly unique experiences. And I can't tell you enough how much I truly appreciate him joining me for this week's episode. In today's episode, we talk a lot about failure and learning how to grow from failure. And we also talk about a life-threatening accident that Adam had that'll leave you in awe. So if you like this episode or any episode of Made Us, share the show with a friend. By sharing the show with a friend, it really helps the show grow. And it's also the biggest way to help people. My whole goal with this show when I started a year ago was just to help one person. And that's still my goal. If I can just help one person, that's all I need. So by you sharing this show with your friends, it gives it that chance to help that one person that really needs to hear this. And that's all I really ask for. Every week I go ahead and ask you to go on Apple Podcasts and leave us a 5-star rate and review. That also helps the show grow and means a lot to me. And finally, make sure you subscribe to the show. Those are the three biggest things I can ask. Share the show with a friend, leave us a rate and review, and subscribe to the show. The bigger we can make this show, the more impact it can have and the more people we can help. And if you want to keep up with me on social media between episodes, you can find me on Facebook at facebook.com/madeuspodcast or on Instagram and Twitter at madeuspodcast. So again, I have to say, it's been an amazing year, and I'm really happy to have Adam on the podcast this week. His story is an unbelievable one, and I can't wait to share it with all of you. So I won't go any farther, and I'll just say, here's my conversation with Adam Wilcox. So I do have something cool to tell you. I started this podcast a year ago.
Like today?
No.
Oh.
It will be tomorrow when this episode drops. Will be a year that I've been doing this podcast. So you are my 1 year anniversary.
No shit.
Episode.
Wow. That's flattering.
So, Mr. Adam Wilcox.
Are you sure you didn't want to put somebody way more important
no, in this seat? No. I couldn't ask for a better guest today.
Oh. Come on now.
So, welcome to the show, Adam.
Well, thank you.
I'm glad Zach, you're here, man.
I'm glad to be here.
So, yeah, literally a year ago, we were bunked up in a condo together in Park City, Kentucky.
That's right. Now it's all coming back to me.
Yeah, and I hadn't released yet, but I was literally sitting in the condo working on this.
And I was, what are you doing? I can't tell you. Come on, man. Whatever. My bad.
No, I told you.
You did. You did, but not at first.
Yeah, well, it was a project that I was working on.
Yeah, and I remember you let me listen to the opener.
Yeah.
I think you let me listen to the promo.
Okay.
The first...
The trailer.
Yes, that's what they call those. And I remember being like... Dude, this is amazing.
Well, I appreciate that, man.
This is really, really awesome because everybody has things that happen to them that they think are so unique.
Yeah.
And if you spend enough time out there, you'll realize that they're really not that unique.
No, they're really not.
If you're willing to share them and or listen, you'll discover that They're really not. I've always said that that's what the internet did for the world.
Yeah.
It answered the question, am I the only one who?
Yeah.
And the answer is
no.
Not at all.
Yeah. It's definitely made the world a smaller place. Not at all.
Well, the world is this big now.
Yep. All on your cell phone.
You know, I mean.
No, you're absolutely right. And that's it, is just talking to people and realizing like you're not the only one that's had to deal with this or struggle through this. And if you just, like you said, listen or talk, you're going to find people that have these similar stories to you.
Absolutely.
You know, and you were just talking about before we went on the air, and now that we're talking about it, you were saying that you were listening to the episode where I was talking about coming back from being sick.
Oh, yeah.
And how that kind of affected you.
It's
or that thought process.
Yeah. It's so when I was a young child, I was in a pretty heinous vehicular accident. Wasn't in motion or any, well, it was kind of in motion, but the van that we were driving was kind of parked on a hill on the side of a garage.
Okay.
And I was outside. You remember those wooden horses with wheels?
Yeah.
You like pushed around.
Oh, yeah.
Right. So I was running around on one of those. And
how old were you?
I was four.
Four. So that's the little Mohawk kid you just met.
Yes.
That guy.
Mean mugging like a mug.
Yeah. He was mean mugging you like a mug. Yes. Yeah.
Good for him. Good for him. So I have two little sisters. So I'm the oldest. I didn't get away with shit. But Tara, I call her, I have my little sister and my baby sister.
Okay.
Right. So any stories that little sister, baby sister, middle, youngest. So my little sister was pretty much a newborn and asleep in said van because, you know, the old saying, she's asleep, we're not. So I jumped into the van to check on her and accidentally kicked it into neutral. And when I got out of the van, I noticed that it was starting to roll. And in my infinite four-year-old wisdom, tried to cut through the van and the garage to make it into the house or onto the other side.
Okay.
And did not make it.
Holy shit.
Did not make it. So I basically took the bumper of an Econoline. I think it was a 250. Might have been a 350. I don't know. It was a long time ago.
Yeah.
Right to the left cheekbone.
Yeah. So, and this is the 80s when
vehicles were huge. Yes. This is 87.
Yeah. So
when this happened,
those vans are monstrous.
Heinous, dude. Heinous. Because we've always driven vans.
Yeah. So you said you took the bumper to your cheekbone. Took the
bumper right to the left cheekbone because I was on one of those little wooden horses. So I wasn't like standing.
Yeah.
I was sitting on one of those right to the wall.
So it pinned you against the wall between the bumper of the van in the garage.
Mm-hmm.
Holy shit.
It, in effect, from what I'm told, I mean, it was bad news, man.
Yeah.
It was bad news.
I can't even imagine that your parents would think you're going to be alive after that.
It was, so the friends that we were at, they had a young daughter that was about my age and we were outside running around playing.
Okay.
And she basically watched it happen.
Jesus.
Yeah. So everything's all speculation and conjecture at this point.
Yeah.
Because it happened so long ago, but had she not been there to completely lose it, I mean, who knows?
Yeah. Cause you'd just been crushed and pinned.
Yeah. Blood. Everywhere.
Holy cow.
Yeah, it was bad. So, you know, here come my dad and his buddy. Fuck. And pulled this van off of me, snatched me out from there. And then it was just.
Dude, my heart sinks right now as a parent.
It was, I can only imagine.
To find your child like that.
Oh my God.
I mean, that's.
I don't even want to know. You know.
You know, you're a parent now, and I'm a parent. Like, yeah, to think that, to run outside to find your child.
Like that.
Like that. Like,
I'm looking at my dead son.
Yeah.
Right now.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it would be, I can't imagine what my dad was. I mean, you could think that you put yourself in that place,
yeah.
But you can't.
No, you can't even fathom it.
You don't know.
You can't fathom that. No. So medically, what?
So I was basically, from what I'm told, 3 days I was out.
Wow.
Out. And I do remember waking up because I remember those fucking oxygen things in your nose.
Yeah.
That's what I remember. Like, what? And just like all the stuff.
Yeah, all over you.
Freaking out. Completely freaking out, right? And then here comes the nurse. And then here comes another nurse. And then here comes the doctor. And then my mom. And then my dad. And, you know, I mean, now I'm, and then I'm just, and I'm literally losing it.
Yeah. Well, you don't know. At that age, you don't know what's going on.
I
don't
have any idea what's going on. Last I knew, I was hanging out with my friend, riding a horse. Now I'm in this strange room with all this strange shit and all these strange people.
Jeez.
Losing it.
Yeah.
So there was, you know, sometime later, I got released. But I had to wear an eye patch for like at least a year.
Really?
Yeah, sometime. Maybe not a year, but it was a long time. But so, I had such traumatic damage to the left side of my head. I mean, it looked like I had a stroke for a while.
Really?
Yeah.
I know when you told me this story, and this has always stuck with me since the moment you told me this story the first time, and I giggle about it, even though it's super gross and super tough to say, but you said your head squished like a grape. But
yeah, pretty much. I mean, you figure four.
Yeah.
You're still developing.
Yeah.
And then you take a van to the side of the head. It's not good.
So it probably crushed most of the side of your face, right?
It did. I had severe muscle damage. I mean, and to this day.
Yeah.
Like, that's, like, I can kind of get it back, but I can't really move my left eyebrow.
Okay.
For the listeners out there, I'm trying to move my left eyebrow.
Yeah, for the listeners, I'm watching him trying to.
Then it's not happening.
Yeah, it's not.
No,
at
not
all.
At all. And my smile's always been crooked.
Yeah.
That's why I told your son when he was mean mugging me, easy, bro. Easy.
No, that's fucking crazy, man.
Yeah, there was that, you know. And then, so, you deal with it. I mean, fuck your kid. You don't know.
Well, you don't have anything else to do.
I don't have anything else to relate it to
at
all. So, fast forward. We've lived in California. We've come back to Indiana. I just remember there being a night where it was kind of like, I don't know if I was freaking out about something or if I was worried about something. I remember being like 12 or 13 and my parents just being kind of like, look, you're... Bro, you could very well have not even been here and or been a complete vegetable.
Yeah.
I mean, those were real options. And I would say more probable options.
Wow.
Given the trauma.
Yeah.
You know, you try and process that at anywhere between 10 and 15 and all of a sudden, you know, you're the no more bad days guy.
Yeah.
Which is a fucking tough individual.
Yeah, that's a tough story.
Oh, man. Thanks for all the feels at 5:30 in the morning on the way to work. I really appreciate
that. Yeah, that's a tough story. So what Adam's talking about is if you go find episode 34 of Manus with Derek Nicely, the episode's called No More Bad Days, you'll know what he's talking about. And it was an intense story.
Oh, my God. And I can only imagine what it would be like to just be in that position and be like, okay, so this is going to be the one that this is, right?
Yeah.
You know, and then no.
Yeah,
we're gonna do this
one time after another.
Okay, so this is gonna be the one. You know, I mean, it's just, how do you even?
Yeah,
I don't know. It's obviously a strong individual, strong individual.
So now that we went off on a little tangent to begin with, and a crazy story to begin with,
yes,
let's tell the listeners a little bit about yourself now.
So, my name is Adam Wilcox with two L's.
Two L's. That's a big deal.
That's kind of a big deal. I have, for the record, been dealing with it literally my entire life. I'm from a small town called Huntington, Indiana, just south of Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Okay.
I was born there, and then sometime after all that heinous shit that we just talked about happened, we moved out to California.
Okay.
So my dad... Okay, let me back up a little further. So my grandfather back in the day worked for TRW.
Okay, what's TRW?
TRW was kind of like a Raytheon type company.
Okay.
Big company.
Yeah.
Right? And my dad, they had lived in Indiana. And then I think he was two. And they moved out to Manhattan Beach, California. Because TRW had a complex in Redondo Beach, California. So we moved out to that area because he graduated high school out there.
So kind of moved back to your dad's old stomping grounds.
Pretty much, yeah. You know, and then so now it's all my dad's old high school buddies and, you know, yeah, this is my wife. And my baby sister was actually born out there.
Okay.
She was actually born out in California. So my little sister and I were born here in Indiana and she was born out there the day after Christmas.
Oh, poor girl.
She turned 18. I said, what do you want for your birthday? She said, to have my own fucking birthday.
That's got to be rough, having a birthday around Christmas.
Oh, it sucks. Because it's like, okay, it's Christmas. And then right before everybody leaves, it's like, oh, yeah, happy birthday, Taylor. And then they split.
Yeah. Like, I don't have the same thing. My birthday is in August. But I share the birthday with like four people that I know.
Oh, man.
So it's like that. I kind of feel like that where it's like one of them being my stepmother.
Nice.
So it's always like,
nice.
Happy birthday, guys.
Yeah.
Here's a birthday cake for both of you.
Yes. Yes. She definitely gets that, but she's a little firecracker. I think I did right by being an older brother with both of my sisters.
Oh, good.
So I'm from Huntington.
Yeah. And we talked about you having kids already.
Yes. I have two little monsters. Max is my son. He's 9. And Marley, who is my daughter, and she just turned 11. That's an entirely extra podcast in itself. But they are, you see, this never used to happen.
Yeah.
All this gray, this was just pepper. There was no salt.
Not salt and pepper.
And now it's like more salt, more salty by the day, brother. No, those kids are great. Like we were talked about earlier, you know, they'll line you out real fast.
Yeah.
Yeah. You'll think you have it figured out. You know,
That's
you're
fine.
You're not ready for any of that. Every parent having their first child is...
Oh, it's eye-opening.
A big deal, right? Yeah. You know, and we had Max and Marley 20 months apart.
Okay.
Marley and my niece 20 months apart.
All right. That's interesting.
Right. So we have my niece. Ta-da.
Yeah.
Right. A year later, I got my mom out on the porch. So how do you like being a grandma? I hope you love it because... You're going to be a grandma again, you know?
It's happening again.
It's happening again. So, and then we had Marley, and at that time, I was, he got married. Cassie was 7 months pregnant when we got married.
Okay.
I was building a house. Man, that was rough. So, we were living at her mom and dad's in the basement, and I was working a full-time job. So, I'd work during the day. I'd come home. Daddy's home for like an hour. I head to the house, and when we didn't build the house that I built, like I say, I built a house, but first I had to tear it down.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We bought a house that had sat condemned for like 10 years.
Okay. So did you just tear it down and build on the foundation?
No, it was like, well, we'll just replace all the walls and then we'll just fix the floors. And
yeah.
We should have just lit a match, bro. We should have just lit a match, but we did it. I mean, we did it.
Yeah.
Me and my dad and a bunch of my friends and, you know, anybody that I could get suckered into, you know, six beers and some beef jerky.
Yeah.
And we did it.
And you remodeled.
And we did it all.
Jesus.
I mean, it has the same footprint and some of the framing is original, but I mean, it's a new roof, a new drywall, new carpet, new framing, new plumbing, new
electrical. That's too much for me.
Dude, it was heinous.
That's too much for me.
It was so heinous. It was, I mean, it was just never ending.
Yeah.
It's never, you're like, it's never going to end. You know, some nights you go there and you're just like, you're just walking around in circles like, I don't even know what the fuck.
Yeah.
Like, this is never going to stop.
Yeah. Well, I told you the story already about me building the fence at the old house that I built a fence at our old house within the first month of us owning it. And then when I finally put the gate on was directly before we sold the house, right. 12 years later.
Right. Cause you
so just, that's how I do projects.
Yeah, totally.
My wife nuts.
My kids still don't have closets. Like they have a spot in the wall with a door.
Yeah.
But it's not a closet. There's nothing resembling a closet. It's basically a spot for my wife to put all her totes. At this, which so, is another thing. Do you have like a shitload of totes? Oh my God.
Are you kidding me?
Just fuck.
Yeah.
Where do they come from?
I don't know. They just show up.
It's like the new Millennium's Tupperware.
Yeah, they just show up. I don't even know. They're everywhere around my house,
all over the place. Get totes for days.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous.
So let's go back for a minute.
Okay.
At the beginning of this, you talked about having that moment being 12, 13 years old when your parents are telling you, "Look, you couldn't have been here."
Right.
Like, what were you going through at that time?
I mean, I don't think it was that I was going through anything.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure I was just like freaking out about some, you know, stupid school paper or some homework or not getting to do something that I wanted to do, you know, and it being kind of that age where you have like the first adult talk about life and stuff. Maybe I don't really know all the details, but I definitely remember a point in my young preteen life of going, fuck, this is short.
Yeah.
And this could all just not be here.
Yeah. And that's weird thing to comprehend.
It's interesting, you know, and I always tell people that I'm a walking dichotomy because I do not sweat the small shit.
Yeah.
I don't. If I can't have a direct impact on the outcome of a thing, I just don't sweat it, man.
Yeah. Do you think it all stems from that?
I can't. Probably. Probably some of it, because I also think that the devil's in the details.
Okay.
You know?
That's a weird...
right? Right? So, it's one of those things where if you feel like oh, I don't have a direct, oh, I can't have any control over that. But it's something that if you just, well, let me back up. So you can't sweat the small shit.
Yeah.
Right. And what I mean by small shit, a lot of people will probably think is big shit.
Okay.
Right.
Like, what are you thinking?
Well, I'm thinking like given our current political climate.
Okay. Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know, there's a lot of people walking around right now with things completely stressing them out.
Yeah.
That literally have the most minimal impact on their life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, I get what you're saying. Absolutely.
And at the same time, they've called into work for 4 days in a row and are now freaking out about how they're going to pay the light bill.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, well, maybe we don't worry about this campaign fodder that's been fed to you.
Yeah.
And we just worry about getting to work on time and having our necessities.
Yeah.
Right?
No, that makes perfect sense.
So we don't sweat the small shit.
Yeah.
But the devil's in the details. You gotta be able to compartmentalize that shit, man.
Yeah.
You gotta be able to itemize your list.
No, right? I agree.
This is what I'm doing right now.
No, I totally agree. And like you said, I mean, there are so many things like politics, and I don't get into politics. That's not my thing because of that.
I try not to.
But that's exactly what you said. You get these people that just get so overwhelmed by stuff that it honestly is not going to affect us in our day-to-day life.
No.
Where you need to focus on what's going to do best for you, right. Your family.
Right.
And so many people don't do right. that.
Like you're on your 10th lap of cruising Facebook speeches and... Now, all of a sudden, this project that you were supposed to have done is now you're freaking out about that. And then it just compounds from there.
Yeah.
So then if you work at it in reverse, the same people will be like, well, I mean, if they would just build or not build that wall, then I would have gotten this project done.
Yeah.
And you're like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
No. I mean, come on.
That has nothing to do with you.
No. No, what that is your inability to look in the mirror and go, I wrecked this.
Yeah.
You know, I wrecked this.
Yeah, I think really like self-analyzing is big.
I think it's a fundamental flaw.
And being able to do that.
I think it's a fundamental flaw that most people don't even realize that they have.
Yeah.
I really do. I think most people just throw their cards into being a victim of the universe.
No, makes sense.
You know, they're just like, oh, well, here's a... 100 reasons why I made this wrong decision that I didn't know.
Yeah.
No, dumbass. You just made the wrong decision for any number of reasons up to and including that you just didn't even know any better. And you got to be able to shake that off and move on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You either win or you learn.
Yeah.
So if you didn't win and you didn't learn, now we're really wrecking this.
Now it's a problem.
Now we're wrecking this.
Yeah.
You know? But if you can't look in the mirror and own up to being the villain of your own story, then you cannot be the hero of your own story. No. Shit doesn't work like that.
That was, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, it's, and a lot of people will, oh yeah, I'm absolutely the hero of my own story. Okay, well, you're also the villain of your own story. Well, no, I'm not.
Yeah.
Okay, man.
No, I'm definitely both in mine. I know that.
And I'm probably more the villain than the hero in all reality. Because even when we talked about not sweating the small shit, like if I can't have a direct control or impact on the outcome, then I don't sweat it.
Okay.
At the same time, I will, in my own head, fabricate some form of fashion that this is within my realm of control.
Okay. So you're, yeah.
So that way I can affect an impact on said situation, right? And then just follow the rabbit down the hole, man, you know, and just lose it.
Yeah.
I mean, just lose it. You know, some of these jobs I go on and it's just, you know, I'll catch it. Well, like yesterday, I spent pretty much my whole day just chasing my tail, just running around. Just, this guy's doing this. What are we going to do about this and all that? And this, blah, blah. And I didn't do anything.
Oh, geez.
But run around in a circle and chase my tail when I should have just went up on top. Welded out a gauge pull hatch.
Yeah.
That's one thing I can cross off the list.
Yeah, put your head down.
Now we're moving forward.
Put your head down and move forward.
Right. No. Instead, I just fucking flipped out and then woke up this morning and went, I'm just going to go up there and weld that gauge pull hatch out.
Yeah.
And then I can cross it off the list. And now we're moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
And so basically, now I just got to write off yesterday for being a total lunatic.
That sucks.
Story of my life.
Have you ever read the book With Winning in Mind by Lanny Basham?
I have not.
It's a great book.
Is it?
And it's a sports psychology book. and it talks about a lot of like that winning mentality, mm-hmm. but it's something that I've really taken to heart as far as life too. And the big step of that book is he talks about the terminology or using the phrase, the process is primary. Meaning, correct. As long as you do the process, the rest will come.
Yep.
And that's like you just said, like if you just would have got up there and did what you were supposed to do, the rest will follow instead right. of worrying about everything else. Right. And I try to do that with myself is a lot of times I use this process as primary just by taking like, just take that first step and follow the process and the rest will fall in place on its own.
Right. Like, I don't really understand what the saying forest for the trees means.
I don't know what the fuck that is either.
But I don't at all. But the way that I would equate that is if I'm trying to get through this forest, yeah. I could either stand on the tree line and freak out about the fact that there's a fucking forest in the way, or I could start with this tree right in front of me.
Yep.
And then move on to the next tree. And then move on to the next tree.
Yeah.
And by the time, you know, the next thing you know, you turn around and you're on the other side of the forest.
No, absolutely.
So, I mean, I don't know. I'm just kind of an old hillbilly from a small town in Indiana.
No, but, I like that. But, you talk about that. You talk about being an old hillbilly from a small town in Indiana. But I do know that you went to school for a while in California.
Mm-hmm. That was an eye-opening experience.
Yeah, because you were actually, without the listeners knowing this, you're a white male.
I am.
But
in every sense of the word.
When you were out there, you were basically the minority at school.
The minority, yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. And you could, you know, I mean, this is kind of a small quaint, and I'm sure people will take, you know, I hope that nobody listens to this and takes offense to the fact that a white male claimed to be the minority.
Yeah.
But let's be realistic about terms and what things mean.
Yeah.
And not get all fucking metaphysical about everything, right?
Yeah.
So I went to a school that was basically one city block with a 10-foot chain link fence around it.
Jesus Christ.
K through 12. And kids went their entire life, kindergarten, graduated high school, never left the property.
Holy cow.
Right? So it was, it's California.
Yeah.
You know, you're like, you look out and you're like, oh, it's going to rain in 4 days. And then it rains for like 6 hours and then it's California again. Right? So it's trailers. Everything's yeah. outside. Everything. You know, it's trailers. You walk from trailer to so these three trailers. There's this grade and there's this grade and there's yeah. this grade. And they have one big giant building that's a cafeteria and an auditorium.
You know, it's without interrupting you, it's funny you say that, and this is going to be really lame to say, but I have seen it like on TV, and you see like they have like the schools where you're like the right. lockers are outside.
And you're like, what the fuck yeah, is
I'm
that?
From fucking Michigan, man. Like, there's no lockers outside.
No.
Like, that shit doesn't no. happen.
There's salt yeah. bags outside is what they have outside. That's funny. Because Indiana, coming back to school in Indiana was quite an experience. Probably yeah. more of an experience, you know, because it's only after you experience something and have something to compare it to that you can go, oh my God, that was an experience.
Yeah.
Right? Like if you're just constantly living in the, you know, if you live on a fucking cruise boat.
Yeah.
Like on a Carnival cruise line, you don't really realize how fucking awesome living on the Carnival cruise line yeah, is.
That's just become right? your life.
Right. So I was absolutely the minority out there.
Yeah.
And just the way they did school was different in every sense of the word.
Really?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So what was so different about it?
It was different. So you're at a K through 12 school.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, when you're done with this grade, you're just going to walk over to that trailer.
Yeah.
Right. So they didn't really, there was no like I remember getting a math. I had like two math workbooks.
Yeah.
That you get given at the beginning of the year. And that's like the math you need for first grade.
Okay.
But they don't regulate you going through the book. So if you just make it through the book in 2 months, they just hand you the next fucking book, dude.
Really?
Yeah. There's no like, oh, this is all you're allowed to do.
Yeah, there's no...
Because we want you to all go through this together. No.
Huh.
No. No.
That is weird.
It was... It's weird. It's different. I'm not going to say it's weird. It's different because it definitely has its ups and it definitely has its downs. Because when I first came back to school in Indiana, and they were kind of like, oh, well, I mean, you went to school in California. So, I mean, we're just going to put you back in the grade that you're supposed to be in. And I got in a shitload of trouble because I was bored.
Yeah.
Out of my mind, I was bored. Right?
Yeah.
Because I've already done all this.
Yeah.
I don't need to do this again. No, you got to do this again. Because this is Indiana's way. You know? And I can't You know, it's not like I'm upset about it or anything.
Yeah.
You know, everybody, I got to feel like everybody's trying to do the best that they can.
Yeah.
And if you're going to get put in a position like that and you don't really think that you're implementing forward progress in whatever it is in that position that you're in, then you don't need to be in that position. You know, I would rather have somebody own, like, this is what we need to do and have it fail and go, this was not what we needed to do, yeah, but fuck, we tried.
Yep.
I would rather take that person over the person that's like, well, I just don't want anybody to be mad at me.
Yeah.
Like, there's no...
No,
you're not going to win, and you're not going to learn.
You at least put it out there and try.
Yeah, you got to.
No, absolutely. You know? So the school in California, what was like the socioeconomic... I mean, it seems like it's pretty...
It was El Segundo.
Yeah.
And it was not... This is probably not a part of California you go to as a tourist.
Yeah.
You know, it's expensive out there, man.
It's
fucking expensive out there.
I've seen some stuff out there. Before I opened my studio here, so that was almost 10 years ago now, I opened a studio here in St. Joseph, Michigan. Mm-hmm. I almost took a job in L.A. I flew out to L.A. I tattooed in L.A. as a guest spot. People knew I was out there tattooing, but they didn't realize that we were kind of scoping it out to move out there.
Right.
And it was ridiculous. I mean,
it's mayhem.
Studio apartments were ridiculous. Everything was ridiculous.
$1,200 a week.
And the owner
for this.
Yeah. The owner took me and went out to his parents' house for like a cookout or something. It was a nice house. Don't get me wrong. Probably if it was here in the Midwest, it's probably $150,000 house. And we were talking about it and he's like, yeah, it's like $1.7 million or something.
Yeah.
What?
Mind-boggling.
A $1.7 million home here is a fucking mansion.
Oh, legitimately.
Yeah.
Like, legitimate mansion.
Yeah, and maybe that's
Robin Leach mansion.
Yeah, and maybe that's just because I'm, you know, I've traveled, I've seen the world, mm-hmm, but maybe it's just because I'm, you know, from the Midwest that it's shocking to me. You know, the East Coast is a little expensive, the West Coast is real expensive, but like, being in the Midwest and you see stuff like that, you're like, that doesn't even make sense to me.
It doesn't. And we have the absolute fortune of living in one of the, how do I want to put this, most min-maxed. Like, you can buy the most shit for a little dollar.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely.
You can. Just like you were saying, this is a $150,000 house out here. It's $1.7 million out there.
Yeah.
You know, so... And you got to think what... I can only picture that in reverse, too.
Oh, yeah.
You know, can you imagine somebody coming out here?
Yeah.
And like, I got one of the great things about my house is I have 2 acres.
Oh, nice.
I mean, 2 acres, yeah, of dirt in town.
Yeah.
2 acres. You know what 2 acres of dirt would be?
Oh, you couldn't afford it.
You couldn't.
No, absolutely not.
No.
And that's how it was when I was out there, when I was talking to the guy. You know, I was talking about, well, we got to sell my house. And he's like, oh, you got a house? I said, yeah, we have a 2-bedroom house that sits on a half an acre. It's not a huge, it's a nice yard, basically. Right. And he's like, how do you afford that? Right. You know, like, you're what, like, are you talking about,
you
man? Like,
you don't understand. You don't understand.
No, not at all.
California is, it's its own thing, man.
Yeah.
It really is. When I was, I think it was either between my junior and senior year. I think I was like 17. We went back out there on vacation.
Okay.
I just remember driving around going, we used to live here. Do we really used to live?
Yeah.
So we moved back right after the riots in 92.
Okay.
That's when we came back.
Sounds like a good time to move back.
It was pretty nuts.
Yeah.
It was a wild experience. So I was like, I had to have been 9-ish.
Yeah.
Going on 10.
Sounds about right.
Going on 10.
Yeah.
And it was basically just, we're not raising a family here. We're going back to Indiana. You know, and I kind of wore it like a badge when I first came back.
Yeah.
That I was from California. Like, I didn't even tell people I was from Indiana.
Yeah. You're like, I was born in
Huntington.
Kid.
I mean, I was born in Huntington, Indiana, right? Right out of the corn.
Yeah.
Like, I'm pretty sure it's like corn tassels and shit. if you're born in Indiana. So when we came back to California, I was just like, you're all hillbillies.
Yeah.
You don't know what the real world's like. And then I had that stance for a long time. And that was just me being fucking stupid.
Yeah.
You know,
trying to be surfer kid.
Yeah, totally. A body glove t-shirts and shit. But you get older and you start to realize that one of the big thing was the biggest thing about moving back was there was no, I mean, Huntington, Indiana is primarily Caucasian, bro.
Yeah.
And I remember going to school and being like, where is everybody else that exists in the world?
Yeah. You know? And they probably were like, what are you talking about? Yeah,
pretty much. Like, and at the time, I didn't know shit about corn.
Yeah.
So now I'm the odd man out, right?
Yeah.
Like everybody that lives in, you know, when I was coming up, growing up in Huntington, and I say growing up, this is after coming back, everybody was either a farmer or worked for a farmer or happened to work in one of the factories or worked at the new GM plant that just opened up.
Okay.
You know, this is Midwest country.
Yeah.
You know, you either make something or you grow something. This is what we do.
Yeah.
You know, and we came back. So when we came, my dad was running a cabinet factory.
Okay.
Like a legitimate, not like a SDI factory, but a cabinet factory. And they were doing different stuff out there than you see around here at the time. You know, here you get more of the influence from the New England area, you know, face frames and stuff. And out there, it was more like face frameless.
Yeah.
Where the doors and the drawers are the face of the cabinet. Kind of like you would see in a doctor's office.
It's a little more contemporary. Clean.
He had his Corian license. And then they burnt LA to the ground. And he was like, fuck this. I'm taking this back to Indiana.
Yeah.
So we moved back here. And he built a shop, and he basically just went out there and said, hey, I'm Jim Wilcox. I just moved back from California. I build cabinets. I do all manner of carpentry, and I'm here to do work, and has built a pretty successful gig for himself.
That's awesome.
And
I love seeing people that
he did
build their own lives for themselves.
He did it, you know, and we, that's one thing that if your last name is Wilcox and you have two L's, that is not uncommon for you.
Yeah.
You know, I come from a line of guys that were like, no, I'm going to do this.
Yeah. Which is awesome.
Period.
Yeah. You know,
and then they did it. Success or failure doesn't matter. They did it, you know?
No, that's a good thing to have in life too.
It's,
you know, you don't want to fail, but it's okay to fail.
Oh, it's totally okay.
And to fail. Too many people don't realize that it's okay to fail.
I think that one of the primary reasons that I have had the little success that I have had in my own company that I work for is the fact that from the very beginning, I told them, I was like, you need to let me go out there and wreck some shit.
Yeah.
And they're like, what? And I'm like, I mean, this is kind of a specialized thing that we do. And you guys are playing into the classic, we don't want to hire anybody without experience. But you can only get experience by doing this, you know? So you need to just let me go out there and do some stuff. And bless them, they did. And I have definitely, you know, I tell the guys that I train now that are my new guys, I tell them, look, I'm not telling you this because I just know this. I'm telling you this because, look, I'm going to tell you right now. I don't know anything that I didn't learn because I totally wrecked it the first time.
Yeah.
Like, nothing, you know? And so I'm going to let you do it like this, but I'm definitely going to let you wreck it. Like, I'm definitely going to let you wreck. I'm definitely going to watch you not have the proper heat set up for this rod and just totally.
It does seem like you learn more from your failures than being.
Absolutely.
You know, it's nice to be taught right from the beginning.
You absolutely.
But if you can teach yourself through those failures, it definitely seems like.
Like we said in the beginning, you either win or you learn.
Yeah.
It takes a special kind of grit to be able to look at a totally wrecked situation. You know, first you have to have the special kind of grit to look at it and go, I did this.
Yeah.
This is me.
Yeah.
You know, because if you're the kind of person that looks at a situation that you wrecked and comes up with 100 different reasons why the universe forced you to make this decision that evolved into this. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, how are we going to learn from that?
Yeah.
We're going to hope Saturn aligns different next week? What are you going to do?
Yeah.
If you get up in the morning with that in your head, then there's, you know, I mean, yeah, you're going to wreck some shit. But if you cannot dwell on it and you can objectively learn from it, then you're not really failing.
No, you're absolutely right. And I did a whole episode on that. Called Failure Autopsy.
I remember that was an early episode, wasn't it?
I don't know where it falls.
About your clothing company.
Yeah, but it talks about that idea of breaking down a failure.
Yeah.
And showing yourself why it failed and understanding why it failed. And understanding not only why it failed, but you know, how you could fix those failures. And then too many people just want to look at the dark side of things. You can also look at the things that did work and why they worked.
Right.
And then when you try them again, you take the things out that didn't work and you expound on the things that did work.
Right.
You know, it's just I'm not the first person that's ever done it. I'm not the only person that's ever done it. But
no, there's no unique things anyway. Like, I'm a firm believer that I have never had an original thought, like ever. Yeah. Never, ever.
You know, you joke about that, but we talk about that in tattooing. Is everybody comes in every day and says, I want something original. And you're like, guess what? Okay. There's nothing original. It's all been done.
I'm sure nobody's got Matt tattooed anywhere ever.
If you can think of it, someone else has thought about it.
God. I do that with these young kids that they send me, you know, because I'm going on 36.
Yeah.
So as far as they're concerned, I'm like old, right? And these kids are like 19.
Yeah.
And they start talking about shit. And I'm just like, yeah, bro, you're the only 19-year-old in the history of the world that's ever struggled with being an adult.
Yeah.
Truly.
Yep.
Truly, you are going through some unique... You should write a book. Do you have a blog yet? You know? And then they finally catch on that I am literally clowning the shit out of them. And they're like, man, if you didn't want to hear about my problems... I'm like, you don't have any problems, man.
Yeah.
You don't. Yeah. You don't know anything about problems.
Yeah. Man, thinking about where I was at 19... You know, Michelle and I have been together since we were 19. My wife, we've been together a long time. I'll be 35. I'll be 35 the day after this episode drops is my birthday.
Nice.
So I'll be 35 then. We've been together since we were 19. But to think about what we had when we were 19, we had an apartment together. We had some car payments, some cell phone payments, which at the time were nothing, you know. Yeah. And that was it. That's simple. Yeah. You know, and you think about like, I probably complained about things, but you know, now I have a family. Now I have a business. Now I have real issues to worry about.
Right. And you probably had dreams. It's like when I was 19, I had dreams, but I didn't have any actionable dreams.
Come on, at 19, I thought I was going to be a professional athlete. Still.
I was going to be a rock star.
Yeah.
I was fully going to be a rock star.
I knew that someone was going to draft me any day.
Oh man, I was tomorrow I'm signing a record deal. Tomorrow.
Yeah.
God, no, I'm not going to wait tables. I'm signing a record deal tomorrow.
Yeah.
I just need to go back to playing the drums.
Yeah.
What a dumbass. Just what a moron.
I was fortunate. I started tattooing at 20. So I started tattooing pretty young. And
that's awesome.
That's what I've done my entire adult life is tattoo. And I know I'm one of the fortunate ones that kind of, I got something I loved right away.
Right. You truly are.
Yeah.
You truly are.
But to still think about what you would think about at 19, 20 years old, life is so much different.
You're getting everybody, you know, you go to the classic job and you're like, well, where do you see yourself in 5 years? Fuck, I don't know, man. If I'm still breathing, I'm going to call it a victory.
I say that shit a lot.
You know, you're just like, I don't know where I'm going to be on Tuesday, man.
Yeah.
You know, and even now more with my wife trying to schedule. So, hey, you think you're going to make it to Marley's thing? When? In August? You know, and it's February. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to try. Like, what do you want from, you know? I mean, yes, I will try like hell to be there, but I'm going to need you to let me know a few more times before then.
Life is crazy, man.
It's full time. Plus overtime. Sure is.
Plus overtime. Yeah, absolutely, man.
It's a good time, but I mean, I wouldn't trade it for anything.
Yeah.
I've always said the only people that have regrets are people that are truly unhappy.
That's 100% true.
Because if we can all agree that every decision you've ever made and every path that you ever took led you to where you are right now, if you are truly happy, then you don't regret anything.
Yeah.
You might have some things you wish went a little different.
Absolutely.
Don't we all?
Yeah.
But you don't have like regrets.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have, you know, even back to my accident, like, yeah, it kind of sucked. But man, what kind of dickhead would I be had I not got made fun of for like 10 years? You know, I mean, that's like, did you see my picture from the Blue Line event?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Willie Van Smash.
Yeah.
That's what all my buddies call me back home.
Oh geez. Willie Van Smash. Willie
Van Smash. Right. Cause that's we're friends and we can do that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Although the first time my buddy said it in front of my mom,
she probably was not happy.
Didn't go over very well.
Yeah.
10 years later, we're still very good friends, and now it's funny.
Yeah.
Right? But all good jokes start like that, right? Yeah,
absolutely, they do.
You know, and even I was talking to Tobin about that. And he's like, what is that? And so I kind of had to, okay, well, let's start from the beginning, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, wow, dude, that's crazy.
That is intense.
Yeah, it's a good one.
I know when you told me that story, you told me that story a year ago when we were at Park City, and I was floored. I mean, I never would have thought.
Yeah, it's a...
Not that you'd think something like that anyways, but I mean, I was floored when you told me that. Because I don't think somebody should be able to survive that.
Well, I mean...
You're a goddamn superhero.
Fuck, don't say that. I am a broken man right now. I'm not exactly a religious person, but I can get kind of spiritual.
Okay.
And I do think that those are two different things. I'm a little bit agnostic when it comes to religion.
Okay.
I get that. So my one grandfather was a pastor at a Free Will Baptist church for like ever.
That's interesting.
Like literally ever.
Yeah.
Started out when he was 20, started traveling to tent revivals down south.
Wow.
In Kentucky and raising Cain, bro. And he was good.
Wow. Like
good.
Yeah.
Like these guys you see on TV nowadays, they got nothing. These guys are weak. And then my other grandpa was a physicist that worked for TRW. I mean, he was part of a development team for a couple of satellites. And I mean, he did some gnarly, gnarly, gnarly things.
That's pretty incredible.
Books. I got a library.
Yeah.
Wrote an astronomy textbook. I mean, so you could imagine Christmas being interesting.
Yeah.
You know? So I have a little bit like... Yeah, I believe that this is probably not all chance. When I watch my kids do something or, you know, like even getting to see my children, you know, being born, you're like, fuck, this isn't just... I can't care about this much to have it all just be a roll of the dice.
Right? I get what you're saying.
Right?
Yeah.
But I don't know that it's the black and white thing that they try and feed you for $7.99 at 1 o'clock on the network. So... Again, walking dichotomy.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Maybe it all happens for a reason. Maybe it was just chance. I don't know. You know, I don't know.
No one will ever know.
Nobody will
ever
know.
That's the thing about this.
Nobody will ever know.
So, Adam, I've had a blast talking to you tonight.
It's been a good one.
So, if you had one piece of advice to give the listeners, what would it be?
One piece of advice. I would have to say that given the current state that I've seen quite a bit, of the places that I go. If I had one piece of advice, I would have to say that you really are the hero of your own story, but you really are the villain, and you have to relinquish that. And it's not necessarily a bad thing.
No, I completely agree, man.
It's not necessarily a bad thing. I know villain might not be, you might get stuck on villain, but it's the opposite of hero.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There are so many things that are going to happen to you throughout your life that you will literally have absolutely no control over. That to willingly put yourself through some shit for no reason, sweating the small stuff, you can't.
Yeah.
Just don't. Just be the hero.
Absolutely, man.
Just be the hero, vanquish the villain, and go back to work.
Yeah. That's the perfect way to end this. So, again, this is the 1-year anniversary episode.
That's awesome, dude.
You were with me at the beginning, and I am happy to have you here today.
That's more momentous than I had previously envisioned.
Yeah. Well, thank you for joining me tonight,
man. That was my pleasure, sir. Thank you for having me.